There's a little bit of commotion when that takes place, but aren't you glad that we have them? That's the future of the church if the Lord tarries. I'm just not sure it's going to be very long, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if you'd take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. And we'll start with verse 36. Would you stand with me and take your Bible in your hand and follow me as I read this out loud and you read it silently with me. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. And what a privilege it is for me and you to have a copy of the Word of God that we can have with us. This is the this is our life. This is our survival kit for the life. And it is that will endure through the ages. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. It is such a important part of our lives. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Don't evacuate, please. We're far enough away from the creek that it won't make any difference if it comes a flash flood. Now let's start all over. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Our Father, we come before your throne. And Lord, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes today. The devil has a way to distract us and keep us from thinking about serious things. And he some way just is able to enter, but Lord, help us to concentrate on you today. I pray that Satan would be bound and that Jesus Christ would be magnified today in this place. Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would be of you and not of me. I pray that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit to speak the truth today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Through the ages, many great events have taken place that have changed the world. God created the heavens and the earth, and He placed man on this earth. And no matter what the atheist would say about the age of the world, it's relatively young. In comparison, it's about 6,000 years old. And for some of you, you've been told over and over and over again that there's billions and billions of years. Well, that's just simply not the truth. Because you see, if society can cast doubt upon the Word of God, then you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going, and you know nothing about the end of the age. And so the flood came and destroyed mankind with the exception of Noah and his family. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that the world was carrying on the way that the world is carrying on today. That they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah and his family entered into the ark. And God had mercy upon that family. And so that family, as the waters receded, that family replenished the earth. And then God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind, the spotless lamb on a cross. Now, I know there was a lot of events that took place between Noah and Christ, but there was about 2,000 years of events that took place during that time. And so Christ came and He died on the cross to pay your ransom and to pay my ransom for sin. And the Bible tells us that if Jesus is lifted up, that He draw all men to Himself. And the Bible tells us, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever... Aren't you glad today that you are a whosoever, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord would be saved? And so now we're on this side of the cross, and the Bible speaks of everything from the cross to this point as the last days. We are living in the last days. So I want to give you a timeline from the cross until the end of the age. And so Jesus died on the cross. The next great event that is going to take place, that I believe that is very near, and I'm going to show you some scripture today that will hopefully lead you to believe that the end is very near. Not to scare you, but to excite you about the age that you and I live in. The cross, and the next event is the rapture of the church. And I believe that that is upon us. I believe that it is very close. The Bible says here, and I read it today, that no man knows the hour nor the day. But the Bible says that you and I as Christians are not to allow that day to come upon us as a thief. But if we're ready, we're expecting that to take place at any minute, at any moment, that Christ is to come again. So the rapture of the church, and immediately after the rapture of the church, ushers in the great tribulation. Now, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee preach this week, and he said, you can disagree with me, and you'd be in good company if you disagree with me here at this point. But if you want to be right, you will agree with me. And so this is what I believe will take place. The rapture of the church will take place that will usher in the great tribulation. And those who are left behind, now I used to believe that people who were left behind didn't have any opportunity to be saved. I've since changed my mind about that. I believe that that they will have an opportunity if they refuse to take the mark of the beast, if they put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that they will be saved. And then at the end of that 7-year tribulation will come the second coming of Christ or His glorious appearing. So you understand, dear friends, that many times people get the rapture of the church and His glorious appearing. They bundle all that together when it's not all, that's not scriptural. That's not all bundled together. I don't want to tell you about that. That'll blow you out of the saddle. I was listening to a song this week. I'm going to tell it anyway. I was listening to a song this week, and all of you know it. The King is coming. Oh, the King is coming. But when you listen to that song, and you listen to all the words of that song, you discover, unless I'm way off base here some way, you discover that they have combined the glorious appearing and the rapture of the church all in one bundle. And that's not the way that it happens. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding, and I misunderstand a lot of stuff, so it could be that I'm misunderstanding the theology of that song. But in the song, it talks about everyone being healed, and that people who are blind are able to see, and children who are crippled are able to walk. And I believe that that day's coming, but I believe that that will take place at the rapture of the church. I think that Thessalonians teaches us, and we're going to get into that if we have enough time today, that Thessalonians teaches us that the graves will open up at the rapture of the church. Are you with me, church? Is that what you believe? That at the rapture of the church, that you and I will be taken up. Well, that song says that all the factories are going to shut down and all the streets are going to be empty at that time. Well, that's not true. There's going to be colossal things happen at the rapture of the church. Airplanes are going to crash. Trains are going to leave the track. Automobiles are going to crash into one another because their pilots and their drivers have been raptured out of them. And great chaos is going to be about the earth. And there'll be folks trying to explain the rapture in some kind of worldly term. But those who've heard this message will be able to explain it in terms that Jesus has come and raptured His bride and taken the church out of the world. And so the great tribulation is getting ready to be ushered in. And so I think that there's great signs of that. Now I hope that I don't blow your mind. I still like that song. I think that it has a lot of good things in it, because I think that even though perhaps they have bundled that together, all those events are going to take place, but they're not going to take place at the very same time. Please don't be mad at me if I ruin that for you. But you listen to it, and you can disagree. You can say, well, he's talking about the glorious appearing. Perhaps he's talking about the glorious appearing. But it seems like it's kind of all bundled together. But I want you as the church to understand that there is a great difference between the rapture of the church and the glorious appearing, because the glorious appearing is going to take place at the end of the seven-year tribulation. You don't want to be here. You do not want to be here during the tribulation. You want to be saved today. If you are not saved, you want to put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, so that when the trumpet sounds and He calls forth the church, that you will be in that great gathering that meets the Lord in the air. And we're going to talk about that in the book of Thessalonians, that we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus is coming back to set His feet on this earth, where He'll set up the thousand-year reign of Christ. And you and I, if you are born again, you and I will come with Him when He comes again at the end of that tribulation period, when He sets up His kingdom here on this earth. So I want us to look at the birth pains. Look up at Matthew The 24th chapter, we did not read it, but look at verse 8. Now, right in here, we have a lot of trouble distinguishing between the glorious appearing and the rapture of the church, because the disciples have asked Jesus some questions. First of all, they came out of the temple, and they were looking at Herod's temple, that they had been more than 40 years building. We know that because of what, when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. What was he talking about? Howard's, I can't even want to say Howard's temple. Herod, thank you. Herod's temple. He was talking about his body, wasn't he? That in 3 days, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will lift it up. And they said, this temple has been in the building 40 plus years, 40 and 3 years, or 40 and 6 years, and you're going to raise it up. It's going to be destroyed, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. Well, when the disciples were with Jesus and they'd walked outside the temple at this point where they asked these questions, they said, man, look at this. Isn't this marvelous? Can you imagine trying to impress the creator of the universe? I mean, isn't this marvelous? Now, you know, I've seen some things that really blow my mind. I mean, I'm thinking, wow. But do you blow the mind of the creator of the universe? No. I mean, they said, Lord, look at all these buildings. Isn't this magnificent? And Jesus said, there's coming a time, all these great stones, there's not going to be one of them left on top of another. Oh, that cannot be. Oh, yeah. In 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, and all the gold of the temple in it was set on fire, and the gold of the temple melted and run down in the rocks, and those armies turned those rocks over to get the gold out from between the rocks. Not one rock was left on top of another. And so they asked the Lord when he made that statement, they asked him three questions about what he'd been talking about. And the first question was, when is the temple going to be destroyed? And then they said, when is the end of the age going to come? Now, the King James translates that the end of the world, does it? Does it translate it the end of the world? And you and I know that's not a real good translation. It should say the end of the age, because though the world is going to be destroyed by fire, it's still going to be here, but the Lord's going to recreate it, a new heaven and a new earth. And so the end of the age, when will the end of the age come? And then they ask the question, when will the end of the age come? When is the temple going to be destroyed? And what is going to be the sign of your coming? What's going to be the sign of your coming? And so I want to give you today some evidences. Look at chapter 24 and look at verse 8. All these are the beginnings of the, what's that next word? Sorrows. Now, some of you have a translation that would, like the NIV, I believe it is. Some of you have a translation that's going to translate that birth pains. And really, if you were to look that word up in the original Greek, you'd understand, you'd figure out that it's talking about birth pains, a woman in birth pains. Now, when our first child was born, can I tell this? When our first child, you really want me to tell it now, don't you? When our first child was born, we were kids. I mean, we were 19 years old. We were teenagers when our first child was born. And the 31st of this month, we will be married 46 years. You can get married young, and it worked. I'm kind of for it. Anyway, Gwen was very pregnant, and we went on a little excursion, and we went to a lake, and we rode paddle boats. If you are getting ready to have a baby, you do not want to ride paddle boats. And we were running real late, got in real late, and for some reason we ended up spending the night. When we came in, we spent the night with my mom and dad. Early in the morning, about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, my wife woke me up, and she said, "My water's broke, we got to go to the hospital." And I said, "It'll be all right, just lay back down." And she said, "No, no, it won't be all right. We got to go, and we got to go right now." Because the birth pains were coming. And as birth pains come, they're so far apart. And they get closer together. Am I right? I've gone into hospital rooms where women were getting ready to have babies to pray with them before they went in to have the baby. And they started having a birth pain in the middle of me praying. And I couldn't get my hand loose from the woman's hand. Those birth pains get closer together and they get more intent. Is that right, ladies? And then the birth comes. Okay, so let's look at it as birth pains. They get more intent and they get closer together. They get more intent and they get closer together. And it's important that you and I realize that when Jesus was saying, when you see the sorrows coming in verse 8. As the sorrows come, as the birth pains come, and they get more intent, and they get closer together, you know that the birth is getting ready to take place. And so as these sorrows of the last day become more intent, and they get closer together in the age that you and I live, we know that the end is very near. So I want to give you some things that would indicate that. Leading up to the tribulation, religious deception, international revolution, war, famines, earthquakes, plagues, strange events in the skies. That's at least seven of them. But there's also, as Jesus, you read Matthew 24, you see all those things there. But as you study the scripture, you understand that these are things that are taking place internationally. But there are going to be things that are taking place locally that you and I will be able to identify as the birth pains get more severe and they get closer together. And the Bible calls it the apostasy of the last days. A downward drift in society. So I want you to look at a couple of passages with me. First of all, I want you to look at 2 Timothy Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy, look at the third chapter and look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days. Now, he's not talking here about the last days of the 7-year tribulation. He's talking here about the last days of the church age, when the church is about to be raptured up. This know also that in the last days, what is that next word? Perilous times shall come. Now my Bible translates that dangerous times will come. And let me just go ahead and read this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see that? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You remember seeing a little deal on the news a while back where all these people were riding, and this mother comes and gets her child and she whoops him back to the house, a big old teenage boy. Any of you see that? Well, everybody was impressed with that and was impressed with the mother. But my dear friend, if that child was being obedient, I'm having a little trouble here. I did not see one obedient bone in his body. But he was fighting against everything that she was doing. Matter of fact, had he been obedient, he wouldn't have been there in the first place. Now, I think she did what she should have done. She used some language that I would not have used, and I figured that that was part of his problem. But he was not obedient. And disobedient children and children doing their own thing and despising their parents is just a sign of the ages. It is a sign that we're getting closer and closer to the rapture of the church. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. You know anyone like that? Unholy. I mean, you couldn't satisfy them if you hung them with a new rope. They are unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Women killing their own children, strapping their kids in a car seat and running the car into the lake to drown their children. That is unnatural affection. A lot of other unnatural affection. Men with men, women with women. That's unnatural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That literally means no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Trady, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form, here we go, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now look with me over at 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter, look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. This is the last days before the rapture of the church. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, what's that word? Scoffers. Brent Fry, what's a scoffer? We had fun with that the other night. Scoffers. People are making fun. No, it wasn't scoffer, was it? What was that word? Was it? Scorners. Yeah. But these are scoffers. These are people who are making fun of those that would trust in the Lord. Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? He's not coming again. I mean, it's just like it's always been. I mean, people are just going their way and everything is going good. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the Lord, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and without blemish. 19 indicators in society that we're close to the rapture of the church. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is how the Amplified Bible explains this passage. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, truce breakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasure and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny, reject, and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Now in closing, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And you've heard this passage read many, many times. I've used it many, many times at funerals. And this is what Paul says to the Thessalonian church. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." My Bible defines that as those who've died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede. My Bible says prevent there, go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27. You see, this is not the first resurrection. This is not the first time that people have been resurrected. But when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, Matthew 27, look at verse 52. In verse 51, he dies. In verse 50, he cries with a loud voice and he yields up the ghost. The veil of the temple is torn from top to the bottom. There's a great earthquake and the rocks are torn apart. And in verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Did you forget about that? And come out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. That would be enough to convince me, would it not be for you? Amen. Then Acts, the first chapter. One more promise and we quit. Acts 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Folks, the King is coming. The King is coming. And he's going to rapture his church. He's going to take his church. Jesus said, in an hour that you think not, or in a day that you think not, the Lord is coming. When you wouldn't expect it at all, he's coming again. You know, the deception is growing more and more, and the devil wants to draw us more and more away from this great truth that we're to prepare our hearts for his coming. We're to be ready for his coming. Had the thief known in what hour the robber had come, he'd have been ready for him. And what the devil wants us to is to not be ready when the Lord comes again. I'm going to dismiss Doug and Shane to go get ready to be baptized. And Brother Matt's going to come and lead us. And I want to give you an invitation to make a decision for Christ today, to receive him as your Savior. Let's stand together. Now, the question might be on your mind right now, well, how do I do that? How do I make Jesus my Savior today? What do I need to do in order to be saved? And Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And so Jesus tells us to confess him before men. That's what Doug is doing today. He's made a public profession of his faith, and now he's unashamedly following the Lord in believer's baptism. And when you get saved, your next step now is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Your next step is to be baptized. And so I want to urge you today. If you're here and not a Christian, are you hearing me? If you pay attention up here where I'm at. If you're not a Christian, that today that you would give your heart and give your life to Jesus. And you do that simply by coming forward in this service right now and coming to where I'm at and simply saying, they gave up on us in children's church. They thought he's going to preach all day. Let's give him just a minute here. Thank y'all. I'm glad we got him. They're not a bother. They're precious. They're precious cargo. They may be preaching behind this pulpit one of these days. They may be doing the baptizing if the Lord tarries. But he may not tarry. So I want to give you an invitation right now to accept Christ as your Savior. And would you come forward in this service? Come to me. I can't save you, but I know a man who can. That's Jesus. And I can tell you how to be saved. And I'd like to do that today. Or perhaps you've been saved, but you haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism yet. And that's something that you need to do. And God's leading you here to fellowship with this church, to be a part of this fellowship. And you'd like to join this church, join this fellowship. And you'd do that either if you haven't been baptized by being baptized or by moving your letter here from another church. So as we sing, you come right now.